I am Commissioner Myrna Melgar, chair of this board. Our vice chair is Danny Sauter. Welcome, colleagues. The clerk today is Amy Sayoung. I would also like to acknowledge James Kawana at SubGov TV for staffing us during this meeting. Madam Clerk, please call the roll and then make your announcements.
Commissioner Chan. Chan absent. Commissioner Chin. Chin present. Commissioner Dorsey. Dorsey present. Commissioner Fielder. Fielder present. Commissioner Mahmood. Mahmood present. Commissioner Mandelman. Mandelman absent. Chair Melgar.
Present.
Melgar present. Vice Chair Sauter. Sauter present. Commissioner Cheryl. Cheryl present. Commissioner Walton. Walton present. Chair, we have quorum. Also, for members of the public interested in participating in this meeting, we welcome your attendance here in person in the Legislative Chamber, Room 250 in City Hall. Or you may watch cable channel 26 or 99 or stream the meeting live at sfgovtv.org. For those wishing to make public comment remotely, the best way to do so is by dialing 415-655-0001 and when prompted, entering access code 266-3080-8069. And then press pound and pound again. You will be able to listen to the meeting in real time. When public comment is called for the item you wish to speak on, press star 3 to be added to the queue to speak. Do not press star 3 again or you will be removed from the queue. When the system says your line is unmuted, the live operator will advise that you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When your 2 minutes are up, we will move on to the next caller. Calls will be taken in the order in which they are received. Best practices are to speak slowly, clearly, and turn down the volume of any televisions or radios around you. Public comment for items on this agenda will be taken first from members of the public in attendance in the Legislative Chamber and then afterwards from the remote speakers queue on the telephone line. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. At this time, I'd like to excuse Commissioner Chan from this meeting. Before calling the next item, as chair, I'd like to invoke Rule 3.26 from the Rules of Order to limit total public comment per item to 30 minutes for today's meeting. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to speak on a given item. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 2, Chair's Report. This is an information item.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I want to begin this month by acknowledging Speaker Emerita Pelosi's announcement earlier this month that she will finish her public service by completing her current term as our representative to the U.S. Congress. On behalf of the Transportation Authority, I want to express our deepest gratitude for her decades of historic leadership, including on transportation policy and infrastructure. From passing the stimulus bill in 2012, in 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, benefiting our nation's transportation system, to securing funding for the Presidio Parkway, the Salesforce Transit Center, Caltrain Electrification, Van Ness BRT, the Central Subway here in San Francisco, her impact is benefiting all of us for generations to come. Last week, I was pleased to welcome over 750 attendees of the Focus on the Future conference. This is the annual gathering of the California Self-Help Counties Association. The 24 counties in the state of California that are administering voter-approved transportation sales tax measures. Together, this group of counties invests $6 billion in transportation infrastructure and transit services every year, in partnership with all levels of government, the private sector, and the communities we serve. Like our self-help county sister agencies, the Transportation Authority is bringing innovative solutions and investments to improve safety, advance access and climate goals, and promote economic development. We're also focused on stabilizing and sustaining transit in the Bay Area, and it was encouraging to see the Metropolitan Transportation Commission's public survey results that indicate that over a majority of residents, 56%, support a potential November 2026 transportation sales tax measure as authorized in SB 63, the state bill that was passed this session. SB 63 allows a revenue measure to be placed on the ballot in Alameda, Contra Costa, San Mateo, Santa Clara, San Francisco counties, either through action by MTC or a qualified voter initiative. Thank you, MTC staff, who are here with us today to share about our future transportation investment in our Plan Bay Area item later this morning. It will take leadership and partnership on regional and local funding measures to bolster our critical transit system. Thank you, Commissioner Fielder, for your involvement in these issues. That is why I was glad to see a broad-based engagement by many local businesses, labor, and community leaders at the second Muni Parcel Tax Roundtable meeting that was held earlier this month. And I understand SFMTA staff will present the latest proposal for that measure to the board this afternoon, and I look forward to having a discussion at this board in December. So finally, I want to thank WalkSF and Bay Area Families for Safe Streets for holding the World Day of Remembrance events last Sunday night, to remember those that we lost to traffic violence. Thank you to Commissioners Mandelman, Sauter, and Cheryl for attending, SFMTA leadership and the broader community for gathering to honor the memories of victims of preventable collisions and to recommit to doing everything we can to prevent these tragedies in the future. Here at the TA, I know this morning, this includes monitoring progress on the Street Safety Act that we passed earlier this year. Thank you all for your involvement, and this concludes my remarks. So if there's no questions or comments, and I don't see anyone on the roster, let's go to public comment, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item two, the chair's report? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Yes, there is. Going to the caller now. Hello, caller. Your 2 minutes begins now.
Blah, 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 blah. Taxes, taxes, taxes. That's all we hear about is taxes. Hey, Melgar, what are you still doing there? You're still reading from a script. I mean, what the hell? You know, I thought I told you to get the hell out of our city, man. Go back to El Salvador.
Please address remarks to the current topic.
We really don't need you here in our city. You're okay. A cancer to our city.
You
just
cannot
leave.
Attack a particular member of this board. Please proceed with comments if you have them on the agenda. Okay, Madam Clerk.
Mm-hmm. Operator, is there any additional public comment remotely?
There is no additional comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please go to the next item.
Item three, Executive Director's Report. This is an information item.
Good morning, Chair and Commissioners. I begin this month with an update and good news. The MTC has, the Programming and Allocations Committee of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission has approved $1.5 million in awards for community-based organizations through their Community Action Resource and Empowerment, or CARE, program. These awards are intended to help CBOs build capacity and develop partnerships in the communities that they serve. The awards include a $50,000 grant to Leah's Pantry for an action plan focused on walkability and older adults in the Bayview, $50,000 to the South of Market Community Action Network, SOMCAM, for capacity building work related to affordable housing and transit in SOMA, and $110,000 to the Filipino American Development Foundation for a streetscape and monument project on Russ Street. MTC staff expects to return in the next few months with an additional $1 million in awards across the region to respond to the high number of grant applications that they received. These vastly exceed the original amount available, but we do appreciate these initial three grants for San Francisco CBOs and look forward to supporting them on their delivery. MTC is also seeking transit advisory group applications from youth and students. Beginning in 2026, in January, the Regional Network Management Program will be seeking to seat their customer advisory group that will see a new structure that will advise on regional and local transit agency coordination. The Regional Network Management Customer Advisory Group will include policy organizations, transit agencies, and other stakeholders. And there is one seat available for students or youth 18 or older. Applications are due by December 5th. Turning to the state level, we were able to submit some comments to the California PUC in late October on the new rulemaking that they're opening on autonomous vehicle passenger service regulation. The comments urge the CPUC to prioritize a transparent evaluation of AV testing and deployment for the last 3 years before adding additional new areas of regulatory rulemaking to AV passenger services, such as the use of privately owned vehicles, transporting minors, or enabling shared rides among strangers for shared services. Currently, AV data is not shared with the public, meaning that only California PUC staff have access to the reported data that providers submit, and we are seeking to, again, have the CPUC grant greater access to the public for these critical data. Moving to the SFMTA's Bayview Shuttle Service. Congratulations to SFMTA and the community there. VIA is operating the Bayview Hunters Point Shuttle, which was launched a year ago, November 2024. This was, as you'll recall, the top recommendation from the Bayview Community-Based Transportation Plan, which the Transportation Authority helped to fund. The service received a $10 million CARB grant, California Air Resources Board grant, and has been a popular service in its first year, improving local mobility, providing reliable connections to key hubs such as 24th Street Mission BART, Caltrain 22nd Street Station, and San Francisco General Hospital. The funding does expire March 2026, and MTA is seeking a grant extension for operations beyond that date, as well as seeking to add some resources to continue the service beyond that point. Turning to further project delivery on the local level, Clement Street and 6th Avenue, the new colorful crosswalks have been completed by SF Public Works at that location at the request of Commissioner Chan. Thank you to Public Works for the markings and intersections, which serve many businesses, shops, and residents in the area. The crosswalk design aims to improve safety, visibility, and enhance the neighborhood's sense of identity. So we thank them for that. In addition, SFMTA, thank you for substantial completion of the Ortega Street Improvement Project. This is 9 new speed cushions, 4-way stops on 2 intersections, and a new crosswalk at 37th, as well as striping and intersections along Ortega Street between 19th and 47th Avenues. Together, these elements improve safety and create more comfortable routes for people walking and cycling to access schools, parks, and businesses. The project was funded by the Transportation Authority's Neighborhood Program at the request of former Commissioner Engardio. SFMTA has also taken delivery of 27 new paratransit vehicles. So this will provide door-to-door service for seniors and persons with disabilities. This is using our half-cent sales tax funds to match SFMTA funds, again, for 27 paratransit vans. They are providing that service, as well as one smaller van with special maneuverability for use in smaller, narrower streets. So we'll keep you posted on their performance and appreciate SFMTA's progress on that front. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Director Chang. I don't see anyone on the roster with questions or comments. Let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 3, the Executive Director's Report? There is. Your 2 minutes begins now.
Thank you, Supervisors and Board. My name is Dan Stejnik from Pacifica. As a member of the California Democratic Party, I passed more statewide human rights resolutions than anyone else in any other county combined. Most recently, I opposed the Measure A in San Mateo County and was on the board of Measure A in Santa Clara County, the $1.6 billion tax. I strongly urge the board to make it clear to nonprofits that they fund that they are not allowed to take a position on ballot measures and are not allowed to use board resources or city or county resources to fund a position on ballot measures. They absolutely must remain neutral. Your sheriff can't show up in uniform. You can't hold a no permit rally somewhere in the courthouse and not allow the other side to participate with the permit. All these funded nonprofits, which kind of are little entities on their own, they go out and they, they're, they take positions on ballot measures which can endanger your ballot measure. I also urge you in the future just to keep an eye on that and try to make sure that your resources are being used to present a neutral position on ballot measures. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in chamber who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Yes, there is. Caller, your 2 minutes begins now.
Hey, that was really good, Dan. I really appreciate that. I mean, that reminds me of the League of Women Voters. What they do is you go around and you get to go to, like, the debates and stuff like that. And they actually ask people to take off their, you know, I want to vote for Obama or I want to vote for Trump or I want to vote for Biden. They actually ask people to, and they tell them to take off their stuff and put down their signs. I was like, dude, this is totally unconstitutional. I mean, they're out of control. So the League of Women Voters is like, they're scum, they're dirt, they're filth. So make sure that we make note of that too. With regards to this director's report, where's Kirschbaum? I thought Kirschbaum was like going to be here and she's making $350 a year. And, you know, I don't, God knows what's going on down there. We need to make it down there. We have a special surprise coming later this week or early next week. Tuesday, Black Tuesday today.
Please address remarks to the current topic. Okay. Is there anyone else in chamber who wishes to speak? There's not.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 4, approve the minutes of the November 4th, 2025 meeting. This is an action item.
Okay, I don't see any questions or comments. Let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 4, the minutes? There is. Your 2 minutes begins now.
It'll be less than 30 seconds. I just want to draw attention that there's four people in the audience and a full board. There's also a stack of comment cards over there that haven't been picked up. And two or three people have sent me a text that said they're unable to get in my phone. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes? Moved by Chen, seconded by Mandelman. Please call the roll, Madam Clerk.
Mm-hmm. On the motion to approve item 4, Commissioner Chen. Chen, aye. Commissioner Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Fielder. Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman. Mandelman, aye. Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter? Sauter, aye. Commissioner Sherrill? Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton? Walton, aye. There are 8 ayes. The motion is approved.
That motion passes. Thank you, colleagues. Madam Clerk, call the next item, please.
Items 5 through 8 comprise the consent agenda. Staff is not planning to present on these, but are available for questions.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Since we took public comment on all these items at our last meeting, we do not need to take it today. May I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda? Sauter and seconded by Cheryl. And I think we can take the same house, same call. So the motion is approved with no dissent. Let's call the next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item 9, Draft Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus Overview. This is an information item.
Okay. Hi, Dave. We're welcoming Dave Otten from MTC ABAC. He's Director of Regional Planning. Welcome.
Good morning. As mentioned, Dave Vaughton. I'm with the Metropolitan Transportation Commission and Association of Bay Area Governments, and thank you for the opportunity to share a brief overview of Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus, the region's long-range vision for transportation, housing, the economy, and the environment. We have the slides loaded up there. Great. Thank you. Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus seeks to create a more affordable, connected, diverse, vibrant, and healthy Bay Area for all who call it home. I'm happy to be here to share how this regional vision connects to the important work happening here in the city and county of San Francisco. Next slide, please. So Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus is a focused update of Plan Bay Area 2050, which was adopted by MTC and ABAG in late 2021 at the end of the pandemic. This update has been under development since mid-2023 and has been advanced by the Commission and Board at three key decision points over that time period. Most recently this spring, when it advanced the final blueprint into the CEQA process. Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus included robust stakeholder and public engagement with three prior cycles for folks to weigh in on the future of our region and its diverse communities. In October 2025, MTC and ABAG released the draft plan document, draft EIR, and draft implementation plan for public review and comment. We're conducting public and stakeholder engagement throughout this fall, and this is the final opportunity for public input before bringing forward the final plan, EIR, and implementation plan to the Commission and Board in early 2026 for their potential approval. Next slide. Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus must fulfill a wide range of federal and state planning requirements. Among those, it needs to be updated every 4 years through a robust collaborative process. It can only include transportation investments that fit within a fiscally constrained funding envelope. It must accommodate future growth at all income levels. It must achieve a per capita GHG reduction target set by the Air Resources Board and fulfill air quality requirements from the US EPA. Just as important, I want to underscore what Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus does not do. It doesn't override any local land use authority. It doesn't allocate any money to projects of any kind. And it doesn't impose any new mandates or propose new legislation. In short, it's a regional vision, a North Star for our diverse region connecting urban, suburban, and rural communities. Next slide. So as mentioned, this is the fourth iteration of Plan Bay Area as required under Senate Bill 375, 2008 Steinberg, which required regional agencies to plan not just for transportation, but for the intersection of land use, climate, and transportation. We recognize that planning is just a first step, but it's a critical first step towards real-world progress and implementation. And of course, there have been many projects and land use developments that have occurred over the past several decades in San Francisco and across the region. By pairing our plans with technical assistance and funding after adoption, we're able to support accelerating trends in the Bay Area towards more focused growth, less greenfield development, and more folks using non-auto modes. That's why we also include a near-term implementation roadmap for the next 5 years, including opportunities for partnership. Next slide. So Plan Bay Area is comprised of four key elements: transportation, housing, economic development, and environmental resilience, spanning 11 themes and 35 strategies. Our transportation element focuses on maintaining and optimizing our existing systems, having healthy and safe streets, and building out a next-generation transit network. The housing element of the plan focuses on what we call the three P's of housing: protection, preservation, and production. In the economic development space, we're looking for opportunities to shift the location of jobs as well as to create more economic mobility. And the plan's environment element spans issues from climate resilience to climate mitigation, as well as parks and open space. Next slide. So since this is an update of our prior plan, I wanted to highlight what has changed this cycle. Of course, we're navigating post-pandemic realities, and we have better data in Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus that incorporates sustained remote work, slower transit recovery, slower population growth, and rising office vacancies compared to what was anticipated in late 2021. Second, we've integrated significantly lower transportation revenue forecasts. This cycle, they were $80 billion less than expected. This sparked tough trade-off discussions, and we had to recalibrate the plan's housing strategies by looking for opportunities to lower per-unit costs to build new units of housing. Third, Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus includes a reimagined vision for public transit in the Bay Area called Transit 2050 Plus, which focuses on fast, frequent, all-day services while prioritizing safety, security, and rider-focused improvements. That vision was co-created with SFMTA staff as well as operators that connect San Francisco to the broader region, from AC Transit to BART, as well as Golden Gate, Caltrain, Samtrans, and WIDA. Fourth, Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus wove climate resilience deeper into the planning framework. It incorporates the first ever resilience project list for sea level rise. in identifying funding needs and priorities for levees, seawalls, wetland restoration projects, and other non-transportation sea level rise infrastructure investments. And last but not least, we anticipate that this plan can continue to achieve the state-mandated climate target as it continues to prioritize its high-impact strategies from pricing and land use to transportation and electrification. Next slide. So at the core of the regional plan is a vision of focused growth. We call these growth geographies. They comprise locally nominated and regionally identified places for new homes, businesses, services, and amenities, and are anticipated to accommodate 95% of all new homes and 72% of all new jobs. Here in San Francisco, you can see that the majority of the city is indeed a growth geography, of course, excluding notable parklands like Golden Gate Park, the Presidio, et cetera, which of course are not growth geographies. The densities in these growth geographies vary to reflect the character of the unique communities within the city. Thanks to the comparably robust transit service in San Francisco compared to the rest of the Bay Area, these communities have access to BART and Muni lines as well as frequent bus corridors that the investments in this plan will help make even more frequent by 2050. And by these areas being designated growth geographies, they have do indeed get a boost for various regional and state funding programs. While we know growth has been slow in the past few years, San Francisco is envisioned to be a focal point of regional growth over the next 25, as we regain momentum following the pandemic, with about 18% of the region's new homes and 16% of the region's new jobs. Next slide. I'm not going to run through all 35 strategies of the plan today. I did want to quickly speak to some of the notable ones and how they relate to the city. First, are the housing and economic strategies envision more density and intensity in those identified growth geographies, creating more opportunities for current and future San Francisco residents at all income levels to live, work, and play here, leveraging our existing transit infrastructure. Second, we all know that transit needs to be safe, clean, and comfortable for all riders, and a new strategy was added to the plan that includes investments in lighting, security infrastructure, and staffing to ensure that all systems across the region, from BART to Muni to Caltrain, are indeed safe. Third, the plan's strategy T11 invests in targeted service enhancements across the existing transit network to improve frequency, reliability, and capacity. It includes the full build-out of a 5-minute Muni network across the city, more expansive rapid bus treatments, frequency boosts for regional rail systems like BART and Caltrain, and of course the build-out of the Caltrain extension to Salesforce, also known as the Portal. Strategies H6 and H8 focus on reuse of public and community-owned land, as well as redeveloping aging malls. And San Francisco staff identified 50 different priority sites within those growth geographies that contribute to roughly 70,000 homes within San Francisco, including in places like Mission Bay and Transbay Block 4 that will help support our transit recovery. The plan also includes strategies for parks, trails, tree canopy, and urban greening, and weaves new green spaces into ongoing and new development projects. And last but not least, the plan includes robust electrification strategies, building on the city's current 9% EV market share and aiming for significant growth with roughly 56,000 chargers across the city by 2035. Next slide. Just to dive a little deeper into transportation for this particular board, the plan's transportation element would expend the vast majority of funding on operations and maintenance. Roughly 3/4 of all current and future transportation funding from all levels of government would go to this purpose over the next 25 years. This includes funding from potential regional measures. 16% of dollars in the transportation element would also go towards implementation of that fast, frequent network that I mentioned. And 8% would go towards climate initiatives and bicycle and pedestrian investments to provide that critical local access for those who do not have a car. And finally, the plan includes just 2% of dollars for freeway projects, with even an even smaller share going towards capacity increasing freeway projects, just less than 1% of all future spending. This is a notable change as the region has reduced freeway spending by roughly 3/4 over the past 15 years. Next slide. The Environment Alameda Plan, as I mentioned, includes a first-ever resilience project list with a mix of locally developed and placeholder projects to protect for up to 4.9 feet of sea level rise. In San Francisco, the total estimated need for sea level rise is roughly $27 billion. This includes the Embarcadero Seawall project, as well as investments in places like Hunters Point and Candlestick Point, Treasure Island, as well as ongoing efforts along Ocean Beach. Next slide. As mentioned, Plan Barrier 2050 Plus does take a visionary approach, a what will it take approach to address our region's vexing questions, from bringing down the cost of housing to achieving our climate goals to doubling the mode share for non-auto modes. It lays out that roadmap for success. Next slide. Last but not least, and the most fluid part of the final phase of this plan is development of a near-term implementation priorities. The draft implementation plan includes over 60 discrete priorities for the next 5 years. For some of these, MTC and ABAG may be in the lead, but for many, we will be working in partnership or supporting efforts occurring at the local scale. From advancing our transit-oriented communities policy to working on the 2026 and 2028 ballot measures for transportation and housing, respectively, these are some of the notable priorities featured in that. As mentioned, this is the most dynamic aspect of the plan in its final months, and we'll be listening closely to feedback and adjusting priorities based on what we hear this fall. Next slide. So with that, thank you for your time this morning to walk through the new regional plan. Our next steps include our public comment period, which closes on December 18th, an anticipated action item by the Commission and Board this winter. And of course, our regional planning process never stops, given those federal and state mandates to update these plans every 4 years. And we'll be kicking off a major update to the regional vision, tentatively referred to as Plan Barrier 2060, in 2026. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. So I did have a question. So you did in your presentation talk about a potential funding measure for transportation. I'm wondering if you can talk about the plans and specific strategies in Plan Bay Area as they relate to OBAC funding, and also perhaps any potential BAFA funding in the future.
I'll take that in a couple parts.
BAFA is affordable housing funding, for my colleagues who weren't around a couple years ago when we put that on the ballot. Yeah.
So starting with the potential 2026 regional measure, the vast majority of the funding in that potential measure would go towards keeping our existing systems like Muni and BART running. And it is an essential foundation for the more expansive networks we're talking about in this long-range plan. Without continuing our existing service levels, we obviously are planning on building on top of that and making service better. So that is a key kind of prerequisite to the transit vision, the $80 billion expansion vision for transit in this plan. With regards to OBAG, that's the One Bay Area Grant Program. It funds a wide range of different programs in the region. A slice of that OBAG funding is envisioned to also go to transit operating needs to pair with the regional measure, because the regional measure on its own is not sufficient to cover all of the operating gaps for transit. That funding source is also key for implementing this plan, because it funds a range of other programs, from supporting land use planning here in the city and beyond. It funds investments in things like EV chargers, as I mentioned, conservation programs. A wide range of strategies in the plan have that initial down payment of funding, basically, from the One Bay Area Grant Program. That is a federal funding source that flows to the region that we are actively working with partners like SFCTA to determine what the funding priorities are for that for the next 4 years. And then last, but certainly not least, is that housing measure. Some of you may be aware that was considered for the ballot in 2024, ultimately did not go. We're exploring opportunities perhaps for 2028. This plan includes identification of robust housing needs for affordable housing. And that measure would be a critical piece of the puzzle to help fund the significant gaps we have in that space.
Okay, thanks, Dave. I don't see anyone else on the roster with questions or comments. Thanks so much for giving us a presentation. Let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 9? There is. Your 2 minutes begins now.
I brought documents for all the board members and everyone here. If you have not gotten yours yet, you might want to get it. Again, my name's Dan Stejink. You may remember me from the Regional Measure 4 talks when I said that it was a bit of a statistics wonk, and I pointed out how EMC Research's polling was flawed, and I told you by exactly how much the ballot was going to fail by. It was actually pulled off the ballot after $670 million was discovered missing per year. The group Shift / 20 Billion Reasons pulled that off. They had a lawsuit, and then it was pulled off. 7 miles by 7 miles. This is perfect for San Francisco. All the pictures are from San Francisco. But there's four other counties that it's wrong for. San Mateo, Santa Clara, Alameda. It's bad for these cities. Their geography doesn't work out well for there. So I strongly urge you guys to vote yes for it. But I strongly urge every other county to vote no, because it's a bad deal for them. I'm going to hold up a sign in just a second that shows exactly how much per person this is going to cost folks. $4,068 per person, Plan Bay Area 2025. That's $4,068 per person, Plan Bay Area 25. And remember, your opponents, the Republicans, are going to be running on affordability in November 2026. So the next sign is going to show you how much per year this is. $34.4 billion per year.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anyone else in chamber who wishes to speak on item 9? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Yes, there is. Going to the first caller. Hello, caller. Your 2 minutes begins now. Caller?
I didn't know whether they were talking to me or not. I'm sorry. My name is Elizabeth Henry, and I am from Shift Bay Area and also Catalyst. And I spoke at the meeting on Friday, and I'm reiterating my objections to going forward with this plan. The Plan Bay Area has projections of population growth that are totally unrealistic and aren't going to happen. And your addition of wanting to create a legislative committee so that they can go up to Sacramento and be a special interest group just for the Plan Bay Area group. Sounds very underhanded to me. I also want to object to, in the beginning, the gentleman that was speaking said that there was extensive outreach about this Plan Bay Area in the past several months. And you know, it's funny because I only heard about it in October when the draft was released. So I don't know what kind of outreach you supposedly planned, but it didn't. I think that's a false statement. The population growth estimates in your plan are very false, based on no foundation whatsoever. This entire plan is ridiculous, and you want to make more than one.
Thank you for your comment.
I noticed you said what?
Operator, is there additional remote public comment?
Yes, there is. Going to the next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Well, very well said, community, very well said. This plan is actually obtuse. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know, Urkel, if you know how to present But if you knew anything about San Francisco, anything about its origin, it was built on a grid. And if you look back on the grid and how the city was built, this will never work. It'll never work. And this uploading housing, whatever it is, it ain't going to work either. You're stuck in a city that's already overbuilt. It's already overbuilt in the housing. You need to go elsewhere. In addition, there's going to be a major 8.0 earthquake sooner than later. It's going to wipe out downtown. And you know that Millennium Tower? It's going down. And it might even bring the Salesforce Tower down with it. So you guys need to understand what you're actually doing here, because none of you do. You know, it's actually preposterous. I mean, the city was built on a grid for certain reasons, and it was built quite some time ago. I know this because my family bought their first home for less than $10,000. And the seller drew in a horse. So we go back a long way. So we pretty much know the city well, but it was built on a grid. So your obtuse presentation is just that, obtuse. So please, get it together. Understand what you're looking at and understand what you're doing to the city.
There is no additional public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 10, introduction of new items. This is an information item.
Commissioner Dorsey.
Thank you, Chair Melgar. Colleagues, I'd like to request that staff prepare an update to the CTA board rules governing remote public comment. I would ask that the motion align the rules of this board together with associated boards like TIMA with the existing rules of the Board of Supervisors. This authority offers ample opportunity for the public to comment on our work in person, and we accept remote public comment in written form, which we fully publish for the public's perusal. I know written commentary is something that we all regularly consider in our work here. Importantly, the right of the citizenry to petition their government imposes no requirement that we platform anonymous commentary and juvenile behavior, whose purpose is frequently abusive and whose net effect is to delegitimize the work of democracy, which has enough problems right now. So it's my hope that we can have this ready for our consideration and possible action at our next meeting.
Okay, thank you very much, Commissioner Dorsey. Seeing no other comments from colleagues, Madam Clerk, let's go to the next item, please. Oh, yeah, okay, let's go to public comment.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 10? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, let's go to the next item.
Item 11, public comment. Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 11? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, let's go to the next item.
Item 12, adjournment.
Thank you, colleagues. We're adjourned.